It's time to go back to school with Professor Fish, Southern Colorado's only show dedicated to college athletics, University of Fish.
Oh, man, I think the clock is slow.
Class is now in session.
I don't feel tardy.
Here's the professor, Tim Fisher.
It's Thanksgiving week here on the University of Fish, and you have lots to be thankful for. College football, great weekend of games. And if you're a Miami Hurricane fan, you may not be so thankful. Already they fell yesterday to the University of Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh did it last year to Clemson. They did it this year to Miami. Central Florida completed their perfect regular season. Scott Frost, big, big coaching decisions he has coming up. He's going to meet with Florida this weekend. Speaking of Florida, we're going to be joined by Mark Moses here in just a few minutes. And we're going to talk about the coaching carousel that's going on right now, because we might know where Chip Kelly's going. We might not. You never know with Chip Kelly. And Brett Bielema lost his job after Arkansas loses to Missouri. Big week this week on the University of Fish. Mark Moses, the angel of the big house, and then Fish's picks. That's all coming up here on Extra Sports 1300. You're listening to the University of Fish.
Everyone, back in your seats. University of Fish is back in session.
The Florida Gators have dismissed head coach Jim McElwain.
Another one bites the dust.
Many Tennessee fans got their prayers answered this morning when athletic director John Curry ended the Butch Jones era at Tennessee.
Another one bites the dust.
News out of UCLA, the Bruins have fired head coach Jim Mora.
Another one bites the dust.
According to multiple reports, Texas A&M head coach Kevin Sumlin will be fired following the regular season finale at LSU on Saturday night.
We're joined now by your favorite person you hear on the University of Fish. That's got to be Mark Moses from the great state of Florida. Mark, how you doing today?
Hey, my man, how you doing?
Are you having the tryptophan hangover right now with all the turkey you've had?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I love Thanksgiving. It's a great time of year. I sit around, I eat, I watch football, I take a nap, then I eat. I mean, it's the American dream, honestly. I love Thanksgiving, too.
There is nothing better than on a mid-Saturday during Thanksgiving to go get that big bowl of stuffing, pour some gravy over it, throw it in the microwave, and then just overindulge. That's what I love doing. But we are talking college football, and we have the coaching carousel right now.
Look, last Sunday night, we had multiple reports saying that Scott Strickland, the new athletic director, and other university officials flew off to New Hampshire, where Chip Kelly lives, talked to him, went over their pitch. That means they went all in. This is the other thing. That's not a rumor. That was actually happening. You know, rumors fly all over the place, but they went there. They wanted him. They didn't get anything signed. They came back to Gainesville without him. Now you have this stuff going on. We've known this all week, where then he's talking to UCLA as well. It's interesting where they had to fly up to New Hampshire, but Chip Kelly said, oh, I'll fly out to Hollywood. This is about, where does Chip Kelly think he can succeed? Money's not an option, because both these schools have boatloads of money. The key is, where can he succeed? Where can his offense succeed? And where can he right the ship? Because remember, he failed there in Philadelphia, and he just fails, not even the right word to say what happened in his 1 year at San Francisco. Can he get back to being a genius like he did at Oregon? Gator fans want him. The question is, if he picks UCLA, what is the backup option? I don't like that Florida went all in, but we will find out. I bet you by Sunday or Monday, we're going to have an official announcement. What will happen if Kelly goes to Florida or UCLA? Well, private press conference on Monday. That's what I'm going with.
Well, you know, I kind of agree with you there. And if they don't go, if Chip decides not to go to Gainesville, I see them going all out trying to get Scott Frost. And I know a lot of people in Central Florida would love that because they already like Frost. But I know the Orlando people would hate that because they like him being there. But we also have the Tennessee position open, which is a crazy situation because everybody's wanting Gruden. I don't think Gruden's going to happen. Gruden's not going to step away from the Monday Night Football, even though everybody says that ESPN's about to make a whole lot more cuts and Gruden's going to be part of that. Monday Night Football is going to be part of that. I think, if anything, they move Monday Night Football back to ABC where it should be, where everybody can see it on Monday night. But you got Tennessee open. Someone could be fired by the end of today with after the LSU game. That's the story out so far. And then you also have Mississippi open. You've got Oregon State open. You've got UCLA, like we already talked about. We know that Nebraska is going to come open. It's a carousel, isn't it?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It is a carousel. The Gators are the best job open. I know I'm in Florida. I need to stand up for Florida. I know you're up there. You know, you're there in the West, but the Florida Gators, all those jobs opening, Gators are the best job. You're here in Florida. You got the recruiting. And especially when you're still in the SEC East, you're going to be fine. Like, you will compete. The other thing that's great about the Florida opening is you don't have to take on Alabama every year. That's what's crazy with Tennessee. They're in the East Division, but they take on Alabama every year. And it is a carousel in the SEC because of Nick Saban. He does raise everyone's salary. Everyone's making more money, but no one can figure him out. That's the problem. Even if you beat him, he's still winning 10 games a year. That's the killer. Do you want to put up with that? That's what you have to ask yourself after a while. Okay, I'm going to make $5 or $6 million, but do I want to be on the hot seat in year one? That's what's crazy about this. And you're talking about Tennessee. The fact that they were talking about John Gruden means the structure there, the people in charge, have no idea what they're doing. None. That's how terrible they are. They can't win a division game. They can't win a conference game. And they're smoking some pipe dream that John Gruden from 2004 is coming. And Mr. Professor, he's an NFL coach. He knows nothing about college football. They're just a disaster. All right? That's good for Florida. That's bad for Tennessee, Tim.
Well, the only thing that Tennessee has been, it seems like everybody in Tennessee has been visiting the great state of Colorado where that hippie lettuce is very legal because they must be high right now because Gruden is not going to go coach at Tennessee. And, you know, I hear Jim Bob Cooter. I hear all the, Jim Bob Cooter's a great name as far as it goes for Tennessee because, you know, you think the Tennessee Volunteers, someone named Jim Bob Cooter is perfect for that position. But, Tennessee's got a long way to go. But we're going to talk about a couple games coming up a little bit later today because, you know, I'm not putting you on the spot and making you pick these games. I just want your outlook on them. We've got the Iron Bowl coming up later today. Auburn, Alabama, this game has not had this implication in years. Since the kick six, it has not had this big of an implication into the college football playoff because Auburn sitting right outside at number six, Alabama obviously at number one, you know, don't have the resume to show for it, but they keep padding that resume, and they're doing the same thing for Clemson. I'll get into that for a second, but Auburn, Alabama, who do you like and how do you see this game?
Here's the thing. If you're Alabama, you better take care of business and you better do a statement. You better shut down Auburn and show that you are the number one team in the country. And if you're Auburn, look, you're just playing with house money. You have no business being in this situation. You have two losses, but you know what? You took it to Georgia 2 weeks ago. And hey, if you could somehow, even by a field goal, if any way you can win this game, then go to Georgia for that SEC title game and win that, you're going to the playoff. Because, look, I'm sorry, whoever wins the SEC is going to the 14 playoff. It's the hardest division to play. Auburn is right there. They're at home. They might need seven kick sixes to go their way in this football game. But I don't know. I think they're going to make a statement, just like they did in the fourth quarter of that Mississippi State game. I think Alabama gets it done, and I think they move on.
Okay, another big game going on in the Big Ten. It is the game of the year in the Big Ten every year. It's Michigan, Ohio State, Michigan coming off the loss against Wisconsin this past week, 24-10, and Ohio State having somewhat of a playoff aspiration. I don't really see how they work it out. I don't really see how Auburn works it out either. But then again, I don't think a two-loss team should be in the playoff. That's just my feeling. But the Wolverines and the Buckeyes, do the Wolverines upset Urban Meyer and his hope to get back into the playoffs?
Well, the thing is, Professor, we don't know what Ohio State team's going to show up at the Big House. Like, we don't know. Is it the one that beat up and you know, finally finished off Penn State at the Horseshoe? Or is it going to be the one that lost at Iowa, got embarrassed? That's the problem. We don't know with Ohio State. We don't know. That's why Jim Harbaugh needs this game. He needs it because if he ends year three with three losses to Ohio State and not winning the Big Ten, we're going to have some problems there in Ann Arbor. I think Michigan gets one of the biggest upsets of the season. I think they get it done in the Big House in an ugly, ugly game. I think they get it done 2017. I'm going with the upset.
So you're going basic Big Ten football then?
Heck yeah, I grew up in Big Ten country. I love it. Bring it up. Bring on the snow. Let's go.
It could be a good game. And then we have the crazy game. I mean, Mike Leach giving marital advice earlier this week. We've got Washington, Washington State for the Pac-12 North in the Apple Cup. Does Jake Browning have enough, or can Falk and the Cougars win the Pac-12 North?
Yeah, this is a toss-up game. Both of them, like you said, they're both ranked right around the same place in the latest college football rankings. You know what's crazy? Is it's been a wonky type year. I think Mike Leach gets it done and gets revenge on Washington. And then, I know I always look forward, and you're talking coaching carousel. Then I think this opens it up for Mike Leach to go get a better job. I think he gets it done in one of these Cinderella-type stories. I'm picking Washington State.
You know what? I like that pick. And what I like even more is the possibility of Mike Leach coming to the SEC and throwing an actual offense at some of these supposed, and yes, I did say supposed, great defenses in the SEC that see vanilla offenses week in and week out, and everybody's going, oh, the SEC has the best defenses in the nation. They don't face an offense that can throw the ball around and that does anything. Everybody comes down on the Big 12 going, oh, they don't play defense. No, you're facing some of the best offenses in the country week in and week out. I mean, everybody's going to like Oklahoma and Oklahoma State was 62-52 because the defenses are horrible. No. That's two of the top offenses in the country. What would Mike Leach and the SEC do?
You know, it's a great question. Look, it happened in the early 90s where it was basic vanilla offense through the SEC, and then a coach from Duke showed up in Gainesville, and he's the head ball coach. He's Steve Spurrier, and he brought high-powered offense to the SEC. I feel like it could happen again. You're absolutely right. I like Mike Leach. You know what would be interesting for him? What if he goes to like a Tennessee or Nebraska and kind of switches it up? That might give them a little punch there. He hasn't been the same since Texas Tech, but now he's starting to build it up again there at Washington State. But that's not a real contender. Even if he wins the Pac-12 North, like you're saying, you're right, he's got to go to a real school. That's what's going to make it interesting moving forward. And look, we'll see what happens in the SEC. I have no problem with Mike Leach as your new head football coach, whoever it is.
You know where I'd really like to see Mike Leach, and that would be Ole Miss, because that would make LSU, Alabama, Auburn, all these teams that are like going, hey, we've got great defenses in the SEC West, it would make them actually play some defense, get some studs out on the outside. Because, yeah, LSU throws all these defensive backs into the NFL, but what has the Honey Badger done in the NFL? Patrick Peterson was good for a year or two. I mean, you look at these players that come out of the SEC touted as such great players, but then they kind of fizzle out in the NFL. I would like to see these teams go up against that kind of offense. Wouldn't that be kind of fun in the SEC West?
Well, here's the thing. All right, look, I got to stand up for the SEC. It's the most physical conference in college football. It is. You are going to get hit in that conference. Here's the thing. You see this, like, especially when they meet in bowl games. You could bring your high-powered finesse offense. Question is, can you do it for 60 minutes? That's what happens. Teams start to fall flat after a while. We saw it when Oregon took on Ohio State a couple years ago, where it's like, okay, you did it, and then it started to fall apart. You start to get tired. That's got to be the thing here. When you look at those offense going against that physical type, you know, offense or defense in the SEC or like on Ohio State. So, look, it's a great science experiment, and I'd love to see it, all right? Because, honestly, I don't want to keep seeing Alabama over and over and over and over again. I want to see these other teams get better. So I agree with you, Tim.
Well, now when you talk about the SEC defenses, yeah, they do hit hard. They do play hard. But look at, like, Oklahoma-Auburn last year in the Sugar Bowl. Oklahoma just dominated them with their offense. And I think a high-powered offense like that would – upset the balance of power in the SEC, and I would so much love to see that because, and you, I'm going back to Oklahoma once again because you know I'm an Oklahoma grad.
No worries.
I'm a homer. I'm a grad. You know, it works out that way. But you look at Bob Stoops is the one that raised everybody's salary in the NCAA because Saban had to make sure that he was the highest paid coach in the NCAA, so every time Stoops got a raise, Saban got a raise.
It's a great point. You know what's the other one, when you really think about it, that can really back up your point about taking offenses to the SEC? Think of the title game the last 2 years, where Clemson, you know, going to those, they say, oh, well, they can't compete with Alabama. They were just as physical as Alabama. And they had Deshaun Watson, the best offensive player in college football the last 2 years. I'm sorry, Lamar Jackson. He was the best. He went up and down the field on that big, bad Alabama defense. So you're right, Tim. It is possible. And I'd like to see more of it in the conference.
And now just to end it up, okay, Miami, now number two in the college football playoff poll. Do the Canes get it done next week? Yeah, we're looking ahead a week, and I'll probably talk to you again. But we're looking ahead a week.
Yeah.
Do the Canes get it done against Clemson next week?
Well, I saw them play a couple weeks ago against Notre Dame. They are for real. They have one of the best defenses in college football, and they make just enough plays on offense. They have Michael Rozier under center. He's a game manager. Homer's the running back. They can make plays. Now, are they high-powered? No. No, they are not. But that defense, I'm sorry to say it, I know it could be a Disney movie. Turnover chain is for real. They're averaging 4 turnovers a game. That's not the offense. I mean, the defense is getting 4 turnovers a game. That chain is for real, right? And so is Miami. We're going to find out in a couple weeks when they're in Charlotte, which might be the best game of an amazing Saturday in college football, that championship Saturday. That game is going to be, sorry to accuse it, off the chain. That is correct. Miami is for real. It's a great story out of nowhere. We'll find out. They got to get to Pittsburgh first. This weekend on the road is going to be a trap game. So we're going to find out about Miami this Friday, early noon kickoff Eastern time. We'll find out against Clemson.
And just like that, as you've been hearing all week long on the Great Space Coast, boom. No sonic boom there, but that was Mark Moses. Mark Moses, thank you for joining the University of Fish today.
Yeah, man. Have a nice weekend, and I'll get you on my show next time. All right, man?
We're going to take a break now, but when we get back, we're going to be joined by the Angel of the Big House right here on the University of Fish on Extra Sports 1300.
Everyone, back in your seats. Professor Fish is giving a lecture.
Now, we are joined now by probably my favorite person that comes on the University of Fish, that being the Angel of the Big House. She is now almost a full tenured professor here at the University of Fish. Angelique Shengelis, how are you doing today?
Well, thanks to my esteemed colleague, but I don't think you should be ranking your guests. I think just going forward, you should say we're all your favorite. Or maybe that's what you do say.
Well, it might be, but, you know, I'm a parent as well, and, yeah, I've got a favorite kid. They don't listen to the show, so they'll never know which one's the favorite. But anyway, you are a Heisman voter, correct?
Yes.
Okay, now I've got to ask, a few years back, did you vote for Johnny Manziel?
Wow, you're asking me to go back. You know, I think I did, but I'm not sure if I made him one or two. But, yeah, I mean, I think I know where you're going with this. So,
okay. Now, my next question. Did you vote for Jameis Winston?
I believe I did. Yes. So I know where you're going with this.
You know exactly where I'm going with this, because I'm talking about Baker Mayfield. One of the biggest stories of the week is the crotch grab and the mouthing to the University of Kansas bench, which one of the Kansas coaches did it right back to Baker. That's a real adult of him. But I don't really see how anything that Baker has done this year equates to anything Manziel or Jameis Winston jumping up on a lunch table in the school cafeteria screaming out what he did. So, okay, just wanted to get that out of the way because I wanted to talk to a Heisman voter about how they looked at things kind of like that in the past, because it is about the best player in college football.
Right.
Yes. You do have to take the person and what they do off the field into some consideration. It's not like he's going up, shooting up places or stealing crab legs or anything like that. But anyway, let's talk.
I mean, not everybody can be Tim Tebow.
No, everybody's not Tim Tebow, that's a whole different subject because everybody hated him in the NFL for Tebowing, but yet it's okay to do the same thing for the anthem. We won't go there. But let's talk a little Ohio State, Michigan. I know that Jim Harbaugh doesn't like to reveal anything, especially when it comes to injuries. We know that Brandon Peters has been in concussion protocol this week. You know, don't know if Wilton Spate can get hit yet. And yet then you have Okorn. So
yep.
I don't think that Harbaugh is going to announce who's starting until that first offensive possession and you see the quarterback run onto the field. Is that anywhere like what you're thinking?
Oh, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, he doesn't think it's any advantage to tell the opponent anything about injuries. So with that in mind, no, he's not going to tip his hand on who's going to start a quarterback. But I think Wilton Spate is highly unlikely for the reason you said. I mean, he hasn't taken a hit. Even if he got cleared to take contact this week, he has not taken a game speed hit since September 23rd. And, right now, John Okorn is your starter unless Brandon Peters got cleared early. And, you know, they weren't going to tell us that. The last update we had was from Pep Hamilton, the pass game quarterback, and that was Wednesday at noon before they practiced, and I'm assuming before Brandon had another wave of tests, because I'm saying that because Monday, Jim said one thing during the press conference, and then by his radio show at 7 o'clock at night, they had an update and said he was 50% better. So I'm assuming, Pep was just still going off of Tuesday's update. That's purely an assumption. So I don't know where he is, where Brandon Peters is at this stage in the protocol.
Well, I am thinking the best chance Michigan has is with Brandon Peters at quarterback. That's been shown that the offense moves much better with Peters under center. But it's going to come down to some defense for Michigan, because they're going to have to shut down the running game of Ohio State, because I think the defense is fast enough to upset the passing game of Ohio State, because we've seen what happens when JT Barrett gets rushed in the pocket. He starts making mistakes. We saw it against Iowa. We saw it against Oklahoma, the two losses they've taken this year. Michigan's got some speed on defense, but what's it going to take to shut down the running game?
Well, that is the key. I mean, last year, if you look back at the stats last year, and yes, this was a Michigan defense totally dominated by NFL prospects, and they sacked Barrett eight times, and he didn't throw for a ton of yards, and he didn't have a touchdown, but he did have an interception, but he did run the ball, and certainly with this two-headed monster at Ohio State right now, the running backs, I mean, I think they're going to have their hands full, and Don Brown, the defensive coordinator, was saying this week, it's sort of a pick-your-poison thing, but he doesn't want to let anybody get anything, and that's a typical defensive coordinator. But I think that they know that they can contain JT Barrett. They have evidence of that last year, what they did. And I don't know. I mean, they've done a good job against some pretty good backs thus far. But I don't know. I don't think they face anybody with two backs that are that good. And Mike Weber's really come on in these last couple games.
He has. But now let's talk about the Michigan offense. Doesn't matter who's under center. You're going to have to be able to run the ball against this Ohio State defense. How's the run game looking?
Well, it didn't look very good last week against Wisconsin. And, you know, I will say, I thought everybody, and you probably saw it on TV, I thought it just the team, not just the offense, the team looked deflated when Peters went out. And, I think Ron Higdon says he's good. He'll be full go. And Ty Isaac, who knows? He left the game last week after missing the two previous games. He's finally back and then got hurt again. So, you know, everything's predicated on the offensive line. And, Peters taking that hit last week, and he certainly took some big hits the two games before that. This offensive line is just not very good in pass protection. And they do run block better. They can get yards, but this is a pretty good defense, just like what they saw against Wisconsin. And what they have, like, not even 60 yards rushing. So it's going to be tough for this Michigan offense to move the ball. Their only hope, I think, is, I'm assuming, Okorn starting. And even, like you said, if Brandon Peters starts, you got to think that they've got to get a turnover. They've got to score off of it. I mean, the defense has got to generate some points, I think, for Michigan to have a chance tomorrow.
Well, this is like the biggest game of the year. I was talking with someone earlier about it. You know, it's interchangeable between this, the Iron Bowl, Oklahoma, right, Texas, Army, Navy. Those are the four biggest rivalry games in college football. And I know the Michigan fans would love nothing better than to just shut up Ohio State, because Ohio State still thinks they have a back door into the playoff, and with Miami going down, that door gets cracked open a little bit more, so we'll have to see what happens. Angelique Shengelis, the Angel of the Big House, fully tenured professor, thank you for joining the University of Fish today.
Wow, it didn't take me that long. I'm so pumped up.
Well, I still haven't got a book.
I know, I gotta get one to you.
Now, when we come back, it's that time of the show, time for Fish's Picks. So stick it right here on Extra Sports 1300. I am the professor. You're listening to the University of Fish.
Let's take a step out on the quad. Professor Fish is giving a lecture.
We're back to that time of the show. Yes, the time of the show everybody waits for. It's time for Fish's Picks. And we're going way back this week for at least the professor, that is. I used to do a show called the Tim and Timmy Show. You know, it was better than Mike and Mike, I'll tell you that right now. But we're joined right now by Tim Taylor from Phoenix, Arizona, my old co-host. Timmy, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Timmy. How you doing?
Not bad, not bad at all. It's a great weekend to sit around, eat some leftovers, watch some football. I mean, already some great games. This week you had the Egg Bowl, Nick Fitzgerald. They're saying it's a dislocation, but, you know, when it breaks off of the ankle, it's dislocated. I don't care how bad. I mean, it looked ugly. And then, of course, the games yesterday. But we're talking about the games today. And we're going to start off, like I always do, with the local teams around here. That's going to be Colorado taking on Utah. This game in the Mormon State. Stephen Montez taking on the Utes. What do you see on this game?
I think Utah's going to win this game pretty easily.
Well, and, you know, this is Mike McIntyre, who was the National Coach of the Year last year, has to win this game to make the CU Buffs bowl eligible. So I don't know if that's going to happen. I mean, it's almost going from, like, first to worst in the Pac-12 South, but I don't think Colorado will be able to pull this one out. So give the Utah Utes the win. And now we move on to the other Utah school, not BYU, Utah State. They're here at Falcon Stadium tonight. You can hear this game on our sister station, KVOR. Pregame starts at six. Kickoff right after 8:15. So Utah State, the Aggies, or the Air Force Falcons, who are already out of bowl contention?
I like Air Force being a home game. I think they're going to get – Utah State's not really that good this year. I think Air Force is going to win this game probably by a couple touchdowns.
Well, Arion Werthmann and touchdown Tim McVay are going to have to do something to score some points because Utah State can put up some points, but I think the offense for the Air Force Falcons is going to be too much, and the Air Force Falcons are going to send off their season with a home victory, which would be nice for the seniors because it would be the last time they get to play in Falcon Stadium. Actually, the last time they get to play at all since they will not be going to a bowl. Now we're going on to the big, almost rivalry game weekend. Notre Dame traveling out to Palo Alto to take on the Stanford Tree. I know you hate the Irish, but Irish or Stanford Cardinal?
I like Stanford in this game. Notre Dame's got to travel out west. Stanford usually plays pretty good at home. They got a pretty decent defense. I like Stanford. It's going to be a close one. It's going to be something like 17-14.
It may be a close game, but if Bryce Love gets unhinged, his ankle's been kind of hampering him the past couple weeks, but he does lead the Power 5 in rushing. Doesn't lead Division 1, that would be Rashad Penny, who's been left off of the Doak Walker list. That's a whole other story, though. Rashad Penny, the great running back for San Diego State, but San Diego State played and beat Stanford earlier this year. I don't think that Notre Dame will be able to do that. Stanford, Bryce Love does get unhinged and goes for some big runs to beat the Fighting Irish. So Stanford going to shut up all those Notre Dame fans real quickly later tonight. Now, a game that I have a little bit of interest in, that would be Oklahoma hosting West Virginia. Baker Mayfield not starting the game. Question is, how long will he sit? I don't think it'll be more than a series. I mean, he's not going to come in like on second down of the first series. I think that Lincoln Riley will sit him down for the crotch grab. One series, maybe two, depends on how quickly the West Virginia offense starts. They do not have Will Greer at quarterback because he's sidelined for the next 4 to 6 weeks with a broken finger. He's got a little ouchie on his finger. So you got Chris Chuganov or something like that for the Couch Burners, West Virginia, Oklahoma at Norman Senior Day.
Well, in this game, I expect West Virginia to be able to put points on the board against Oklahoma's defense. But I think Baker Mayfield maybe even sit out the first quarter depending on how the game's going. But I think Baker Mayfield, once he does get into the game, he's going to be playing with a little chip on his shoulder. He was pretty upset about being not named captain for the game, going out for the coin toss and having to sit out and not even be a starter. I think that's going to motivate him. And I see once he comes in, I see Oklahoma just running away. It's probably going to be something like 59-38.
Now, once Baker does get into the game, that crowd is going to erupt. The whole place will be electric. It's going to be electric anyway because it's senior day, sending off a lot of good players for Oklahoma. Probably the number one offensive lineman going to be taken in the draft with Orlando Brown, some others, Mark Andrews. I always get all the tight ends mixed up there because they've had so many great ones there at Oklahoma. But I think it's going to be possibly a slow start, but, I know that we have a pretty decent backup quarterback because he started for Texas A&M before he transferred out, just like Kenny Hill did with TCU. But I think the defense is going to be better than I know that you think they are. I know you think they're completely porous, but you see what they did against TCU. Yeah, they did this. They gave up 3 points to a lowly Kansas team, which is three more than TCU gave up to them. But I think the defense is going to hold them down maybe to 25 points, which would be a great defensive showing for Oklahoma. But once Baker Mayfield comes in, they're going to do a Barry Switzer and hang half a hundred on West Virginia. So they'll be riding into the Big 12 championship with a nice big win in that one. Now we get into some interstate rivalries. Clemson traveling down to Columbia, Williams-Brice Stadium, to take on the Gamecocks. South Carolina is now ranked at 8-3. I don't know why they're ranked other than that it bolsters everybody in the SEC and Clemson's strength of schedule. That's the only reason they're doing it. The playoff committee is so biased this year. You've seen it. I've seen it. So, but Clemson, the Tigers taking on the Cox. What do you like?
I like Clemson in this game to win. I think it's going to be close. South Carolina's been playing good lately, but I don't think they have enough to keep up with Clemson. I think Clemson wins probably 38-21.
Now, you're hearing these point spreads be thrown around. We're not going against the spread because I've had people saying, hey, my wife's getting mad at me because I'm losing because I'm listening to you. I have to deal with that myself. So, once again, this is only for entertainment purposes only. Clemson and South Carolina, always a good game. Clemson has tripped up in this game a few times before. I don't think that's going to happen at Williams-Brice later tonight. It's going to be a great game, but I think the Gamecocks will stick in it. They will be in it with the Tigers, but I think Kelly Bryant will do enough late in the game to have Clemson go on towards a win and then be ready to travel down I-85 next week to go to Charlotte to take on, well, it's going to be Miami, we know that, and that's going to be a great game. Don't know how much playoff implication it's going to have because we have to see what happens tonight, but it'll be a good game next week anyway. Now,
well, I think the loser of that game is going to be out of the playoff picture.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. But then you have Georgia, Georgia Tech, this game being played in the oldest stadium in the NCAA that's still being used. That's going to be there at Georgia Tech. The Ramblin' Wreck or the Bulldogs?
I like the Bulldogs in this game. I think Georgia Tech's option offense is going to give them fits for a little bit, but I think they'll adjust to that. And you know, Georgia's got good defense, and I think they're going to win this game.
Georgia Tech can't stop anybody, but there's not a whole lot of people that can stop them at the same time. So it's going to be a very interesting game. It's always a great game. I've been to this game when it was played back on Thanksgiving Day. It was a great atmosphere there in Atlanta. It's going to be the same way later today, that game in just a couple hours. But Georgia Tech will not have enough on offense to stop Nick Chubb and Sony Michel from running up the score. I even think Jake Fromm has a pretty decent game as a quarterback. He hadn't had a whole lot of those good throwing games. Might get it done today. Georgia will win this game. Now, we're headed to the Big Ten. I know that's your area of the country. You love Big Ten football. One of the teams that think they're being slighted the most in college football, of course, that being Bucky Badgers, Wisconsin, traveling to Minnesota. Minnesota sitting at 5-6, has to win this to get the bowl eligibility. Wisconsin has to win this to have a hope of getting in the playoff. If they win the Big Ten, they're going to be in the playoff, but they got to get by the Golden Gophers first. How do you see this one?
Well, they're playing full Paul Bunyan's axe. And Wisconsin's got one of the best defenses in the country. They showed it last week against Michigan. Minnesota, they're going to play hard, but I don't think they got enough for Wisconsin. Wisconsin's playing for their life right now because nobody's giving them any respect, which is, you know, due to their schedule. But anyways, they're, you know, you got to win the games they put on your schedule, and they've done that. But I like Wisconsin to win this game. It's going to be probably like 28-3.
It will be a big win for Wisconsin as they get ready to go to Indianapolis to take on, well, we'll have to figure out exactly who's going to represent the Big Ten East because there is the next game we talk about will have a lot towards deciding that. But Wisconsin will beat the Golden Gophers and then be sitting at 12-0 for the first time in, God, I don't know how many years. It's been a long, long, long time since that. But the biggest thing here is Jonathan Taylor going to get enough yards to break Adrian Peterson's freshman rushing record, which is 1,925 yards. He has to get 270 against Minnesota. It is possible, but we'll see what happens. A game that I know you have a little bit of interest in, that being Ohio State traveling to the Big House to take on your Michigan Wolverines. You hate Ohio State, don't you?
I can't stand them.
Well, tell me about this game.
Oh, this game, most people consider it the best rivalry in all sports, which to me, I think it is. There's so much hatred in this game. I was out shopping last night for Black Friday, and I ran into a couple Buckeyes, and, you know, when a Buckeye sees a Wolverine or a Wolverine sees a Buckeye, there's always something that's going to be said, and that proved very well last night. As far as the game goes this week, you know, last year it was real close. There were some bad calls that went Ohio State's way, probably won them the game. Michigan, of course, has got, you know, pretty much a brand-new defense, but they've been playing really good this year. And this game, with Michigan's season pretty much over, they have no chance for the playoff. They're not even ranked. Probably not even going to get a good bowl game. So this game is their season. I think they're going to play tough. But John O'Korn's probably going to be at quarterback, and that's going to be the Achilles heel for Michigan this year. My heart wants me to pick Michigan to win this game in a close one, but I think O'Korn's going to turn the ball over enough that it's going to seal the deal for Ohio State. And I hate to say it, but I like Ohio State to win this game 17-14.
Well, we know that Jim Harbaugh likes keeping things close to the vest. We know that Brandon Peters has been going through concussion protocol earlier in the week, and not sure if Wilton Spate's been cleared for contact in practice, so that does put it on O'Korn if Peters is not able to take the field. But I guarantee you, Harbaugh's not going to let that be known until that first series when whoever trots out is going to be the quarterback. We'll have to see how that works out. I think if Brandon Peters is the quarterback, I like Michigan to have a whole lot better chance in this game than I do if O'Korn's at quarterback. But I misspoke earlier. Ohio State's already clinched the Big Ten East. They will be facing Wisconsin. But a third loss for Ohio State would just devastate any hopes they have for the playoffs. I don't think they really have any, because as long as if it comes down to an Oklahoma and Ohio State, that's an easy pick because of the head-to-head, which it may very well come down to, but we'll have to see what happens next week in Indianapolis.
I don't think Oklahoma's got to worry about Ohio State, and I don't think Ohio State's got to worry about Oklahoma, because Clemson and Miami is going to knock each other out. One of those teams is going to be gone, and that's going to open up that fourth spot for Ohio State if they win out.
And we'll have to see how all that works out. But
I think that fourth spot's going to come down to the Big Ten championship. If Ohio State comes in there with a win over Michigan, that game's going to be for that fourth spot.
But back to the game at hand today. Ohio State, Michigan. You said you think it's the best rivalry. I would say I know it's in the top four. I don't know if you could just interchange any of these four, that being Oklahoma, Texas, Army, Navy, the Iron Bowl, which we'll be talking about next, and Ohio State, Michigan. All those are the four best rivalry games in college football. I think they're all interchangeable at that top spot. It just really depends on who you actually root for. Ohio State, they better bring their running game, because I think the quickness of the Michigan defense will be giving JT Barrett fits all day long in the passing game. We've seen what a quick defense can do against Ohio State. Going back to the Oklahoma game, everybody's going, it was early. The offense hadn't gelled yet for Ohio State. But I do think when you see him flustered in the pocket is when he makes those mistakes, and I think Michigan's defense can do that. But can they do it enough is the question. I want to say yes, but I don't think they will. I think it'll be a very close game, like you said, maybe a little bit higher scoring on the Ohio State side. I'm going to say mid-20s to like 17. Ohio State does get the win. That brings us to the Iron Bowl. Auburn, Alabama. Auburn thinking, you know, hey, if we win the SEC with two losses, we're automatically in. Alabama still thinks that they could lose this game and still get in, but it doesn't matter. They got to play it on the field today at Jordan-Hare Stadium. The Crimson Tide or the War Eagle, Tigers, whatever you want to call them.
Well, we all know what happened 2 years ago when Alabama traveled down to Auburn to play. Probably one of the greatest endings in college football history. Auburn's been playing really good. I don't think Alabama's even been tested yet, so we don't know what they have. And, you know, with that being said, I like Auburn to win this game. Being at home, Alabama, you know, hasn't faced a team like Auburn yet. So, you know, they might get a little surprised by Auburn. Who knows? But I think, you know, with the way Auburn's been playing lately, I think they're going to get Alabama.
The questions to get answered today is, one, is Alabama any good? Two, did Auburn actually expose Georgia and Georgia not being that good? Because we've seen the close loss to Clemson. We've seen the other loss that they had when they had the lead on LSU.
And Notre Dame, too, and then Notre Dame goes and gets spanked by Miami.
So. Exactly. So you don't know really how good these teams are because we've seen Alabama play two semi-close games, that being with Mississippi State a couple weeks ago, and then the A&M game. So we really don't know how good they are because you can't judge them off Mercer. You can't judge them off Florida State, who's been trash all year long. Doesn't matter if Francois was a quarterback or not. Florida State was going to be trash this year. We've seen that because they wouldn't lose the way they've been losing if they had. Because you figure at a Division I program, especially a program like Florida State, they'd be able to plug someone in at quarterback and have a better season than they've had this year if the team was any good. So we don't know anything about these two teams, really. And so I don't know what we're going to come away with knowing tonight. But I think, as much as I love to say this, Alabama's going down tonight. Alabama will go down to Auburn, and Auburn will have that rematch with Georgia. And Georgia better bring some horses next week because they may get run out of Atlanta, I think. Because being in Atlanta, both Auburn and Georgia, both very close to Atlanta, is going to be a great game next week. But the Auburn Tigers will win tonight. Tim Taylor, thank you for joining the University of Fish today. We'll see who does better on picks. I don't know. I don't want to go back to our days of doing our show together because I think you had the edge on me in those shows. Hopefully, I'll get the edge on you, even though we didn't have a whole lot of differences in this, but we'll have to see how it works out. Thank you for joining the University of Fish today. Great day of football. Everybody enjoy it. We'll be back next week for Championship Week. So stick around. Some great stuff coming up today on Extra Sports 1300. I'm the professor. Class dismissed.